Good morning and welcome. The Transfiguration of our Lord is an event that is filled with a great deal of meaning with respect to every verse we hear proclaimed. We could easily spend days studying the significance of every key detail that Luke describes for us, such as the significance of witnessing Moses and Elijah speaking with Jesus. Moses, who represents the law, and Elijah, who represents the prophets, speaking with Jesus, who is the Word made flesh. Then there is the significance of Peter offering to construct three tents. Peter had awakened from his sleep to witness Jesus in his glory, while in a company of Moses and Elijah. Peter may have been so overwhelmed by this vision when he offered to build three tents, really as a way of trying to preserve this moment in time. Or how's about the fact that once again in the Gospels, we hear the voice of God the Father speaking just as he had done at the baptism of our Lord, only now advising the disciples who are with Jesus to listen to him. As rich as this Gospel account is in meaning, what has always stuck out to me and has puzzled me at times is that as significant of an event that the Transfiguration of our Lord is in the life of Jesus, in some respects, unlike his baptism or his birth, and unlike his death and his resurrection, the Lord's Transfiguration almost seems somewhat hidden in our church's calendar. Granted, it is the tradition of our church to proclaim the events of the Transfiguration on a second Sunday of Lent. This is because the belief that this event would have occurred roughly 40 days prior to the Passion of our Lord. It, nonetheless, though, seems somewhat hidden in a calendar. Yet, for the three disciples who were with Jesus that day, while they may not have spoken about the events that occurred on a mountaintop until sometime after the resurrection, I would venture to guess that this was one of those significant experiences that they would not have forgotten so easily, even if they didn't fully understand its meaning. How many of us have had such experiences in our own lives? Experiences that seem almost indescribable and unbelievable, that sometimes all we can do is refer to these moments as being God moments, because we feel as if we had an experience or an encounter with God. Moments that, ironically, become in themselves almost hidden within our own personal calendars. Moments and events that are only known to us and a few others. Sometimes, these are good moments. Oftentimes, they can be difficult moments that seem to test our faith in God. Then, other times, there are moments that, unknown to us, can help prepare us for something more difficult that we will encounter in our lives. I can remember one such moment in my own life. Sometimes it almost seems like it happened just yesterday, even though it's been more than 10 years ago, when it happened on a rainy Sunday morning in August. I was driving along Highway 51 en route to Mass that day, while my wife was seated in the back seat next to our 2-month-old daughter, who was all snuggled up in her car seat. I remember looking out ahead at the empty, wet roadway and just thinking to myself, what an amazing stretch of roadway to practice one's driving skills of what to do in bad weather. Then, out of nowhere, a question popped into my mind. What do you do when your car is skidding? And I said to myself, you turn into the skid. As soon as that thought had passed through my mind, I remember having a great calming sense of just pure peace come over me. Before I knew it, I could feel the tires begin to wobble as we began to hydroplane along the highway. I tried my best to maintain control of our car, but eventually It had taken such a powerful spin on me that all I could do was to hold on to the steering wheel and pray for safety. After we had skidded along that middle dividing wall for probably a good 100 feet or so, our car had finally stopped. While our car was totaled that day, thanks be to God, all three of us, we were able to walk away with just some minor bumps and bruises. It was as if in that very moment, God had prepared me for the accident that my young family was going to endure that day. That accident had also occurred just a few weeks prior to my beginning my diaconate studies. Throughout my years of studying to become a deacon, I had all sorts of questions and concerns. As frightening as my accident may have been, it actually helped prepare me for the challenges and obstacles that I would face on my journey towards ordination. Whenever the challenges seemed almost unbearable, I would think back to that Sunday morning and of how God was there with me that day, even if I didn't realize it at that particular time. A realization that would only come to develop in time through prayer and discernment of God's presence in my life. Our lives are filled with all sorts of challenges and obstacles that can at times seem almost unbearable. But yet, those moments can serve the purpose of drawing us closer to God as a way of preparing ourselves to handle the challenges that may lay ahead in our lives by our willingness to trust in God. Abram would experience such an event in his own life. In our first reading, we hear of the promise and covenant that God makes with Abram, about how his descendants will outnumber the stars in the sky, even though his wife Sarah has been unable to have children. It won't be until Sarah, well advanced in years, will finally give birth to a son, who will be named Isaac, a son that Scripture will describe as being Abram's most beloved. It will be this most beloved son of his that will be used to test Abram's faith in God, when God will ask Abram to sacrifice his beloved son Isaac. This probably came as both a great challenge and surprise for Abram, given the fact that God had promised to make his descendants greater than the stars. I oftentimes wonder if Abram, as he was preparing for the journey to the place that God had set aside for the sacrifice, would he spend time looking up at the night sky and reminding himself of God's promise to him? Was that vision of the stars, was it a source of strength for Abram as his faith and trust in God was being tested? Abram, he did not need to sacrifice his son, for when the moment had arrived, God stopped him. It was evident by his willingness that Abram possessed a great deal of faith and trust in the Lord. How great is our faith and trust in God during the more challenging times of our lives? Is this something that we need to pray for an increase in our lives? The transfiguration of our Lord begins with Jesus taking Peter, John, and James up a mountain to pray. When they come back down from that mountain and rejoin the rest of the disciples, they will begin upon the final leg of the journey towards Jerusalem. Unlike the transfiguration accounts found in the Gospels of Matthew and of Mark, Luke provides us with an insight into the conversation that Jesus has with Moses and Elijah, about how the three of them are discussing the Exodus that Jesus will experience in Jerusalem via the cross. In some respects, Luke reveals to us Jesus' preparation for the passion that he is to endure for our salvation, a preparation that takes place in prayer. Lent is a time of preparing ourselves for encountering the risen Lord. It is also a time to increase our practice of the three pillars of Lent, which are prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Our gospel account begins with Jesus and three disciples heading up a mountain to pray. It concludes with the voice of God the Father stating, "This is my chosen Son. Listen to him." How do we accomplish this task of listening? It is done by silencing ourselves to the voice of another. Therefore, we could say then that a key element of prayer depends upon us silencing the world around us so that we may listen to God's voice in our lives, helping us, as he always does, through both the good moments and the challenging moments of our lives, so that one day our faith may be considered as strong as the faith of Abram, and that we may also enjoy spending eternity, just like Moses and Elijah, in the presence of God's glory.